Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:49, Thursday night. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Citigroup executive and motivational speaker Linda Krill had life in clear perspective, but after losing her husband at age 57, she was hit with what many of us face, a moment of unexpected and very unwanted change. How did she deal with it, and how can you? Well, she writes about it in her book, Blind Curves. Linda, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
I'm glad to be with you and your listeners.
Yeah, but, well, let's start with your life before your husband passed away. What kinds of plans did you have at the time for your future?
Well, we really thought that life was just going to continue to go on the main route that everybody was headed, and that was our jobs were fulfilling, we were excited about life, we were both in wonderful health. And so we were looking to the fact that what we would grow old together, and someday we would be 90 years old and be still happy and active.
May I ask how you lost your husband?
It was to mesothelioma cancer, which comes from exposure to asbestos earlier in your life.
I see. So did it happen fairly suddenly, or was it a fairly long process?
It happens. It's usually diagnosed in the last stages, and usually as soon as you get the diagnosis, they say 4 months, and you'll be gone. Mm. And 11 months later, we'd lost him. But it is something that you don't have signs ahead of time for. And when you're told, it means it's over.
Now, how would you describe your initial reaction to the loss itself?
You know, I knew that I was going to mourn the loss of my husband, and we were wonderful and happily married. But what I didn't think would happen is I didn't expect to lose Linda, myself. And yet so much of my life didn't make sense once my husband was gone.
How so? I mean, what was it that your relationship represented in terms of your own identity?
Well, it was things like I knew how to use power tools, and we renovated our house, but I discovered I didn't know how to change a router bit, and I didn't know how to do certain things with a power saw. We love photography. I didn't know some things about how to do Final Cut Pro. There's so many things. I was still cooking for the kinds of food he liked 18 months later, and I was going, wait a minute. It's time to cook for the way you used to like. And so you sit there and think, well, what did I like when we weren't a couple?
Hmm. And how do you begin to actually identify those things that you really want to do now that you're a person on your own?
Well, you know, you have to become single again to a good degree. And it took me a long time to figure out who Linda was as a single person. And I followed experts' advice for 18 months, and nothing was working. They said, please make sure you're exercising. I was bicycling 120 miles a week. Make sure you're eating well and getting plenty of sleep. I was getting more sleep than I'd ever gotten in my life. Everybody says to pamper yourself, and I was pampering myself. And 18 months after he had passed, I was still miserable.
Hmm. I'm talking to Linda Krill, a motivational speaker, consultant. Her book is titled Blind Curves. Now, how did you then begin to really transition away from this feeling of being miserable to where you are now?
Well, it's interesting. I helped so many corporations make changes in their strategy and their plans and how they worked with people. And I tried to use all the tools of brainstorming ideas and setting up criteria in my own life, and it wasn't working. And suddenly, one day, I just said, if all of this expert advice doesn't work, what's the most opposite thing I can think of? And I threatened to learn to ride a motorcycle, and I was never going to do that. I was just being sarcastic. But the next day when I met a business friend of mine and he said, how are things going? And I teasingly mentioned to him that I had threatened to ride a motorcycle because things weren't going well. He laughed and said, Linda, don't you know I organize motorcycle trips for executives and we go all over the world and we need to. We're leaving in 2 months for a trip to the West Coast. Please sign up for it.
So you went out and bought a motorcycle for yourself?
No, with the motorcycle groups, you often fly to a destination and rent there. So
I see. Now, this is a 2,500-mile road trip you took, right? America's Pacific Northwest coast. What is it that happened during this long trip?
Well, you know, the thing was is I only took my motorcycle first class 30 days before I left, and I didn't have enough experience for really kind of trip I was going on. But I still flew out, and I was on a full-size Harley, and I threw on 50 pounds of luggage on the back of the Harley, and we jumped right into Vancouver rush hour traffic as we headed to the ferry to go to Victoria Island. And the trip is, the book really talks about the trip in two forms. One is the actual road trip of all the beautiful places we went and the exciting things we did. And the other part of the book is really about the internal trip I took, that how do you face fear and how do you face all the emotions of doing something that is more difficult than you were ready for.
Was it in fact the intensity of it all that kind of changed your perspective and pulled you out of your misery?
Exactly. And this is what nobody tells you to do. Believe it or not, when I took the Harley course, it's a 3-day course of learn to ride a motorcycle, I failed the course. And then I went to the DMV for the next 3 days, and I failed it 3 more times before I finally passed it on the 4th day. But I have to tell you something. Failing all those times and finding out that I could still pick up and go back and keep trying. When I finally got that motorcycle license, I was more happy and more excited than I had been since my husband had died. And it's part greatly because who thinks when you go through something and you keep at it and you work hard for it, when you finally achieve it, oh, you know, the world opens up for all of us.
How did you maintain, though, that feeling, that freedom that you felt from the trip after you came home?
Well, I learned on the trip that I could really trust myself. You know, I could trust myself to do something hard. I remembered that anything new that you do in life, you make mistakes. But if you keep going through it, you get better and better. And by the end of the motorcycle trip, I really believed that I could face anything in life again. So when I came home and I was looking for what to do next, I never thought I was ever going to be a writer. But everybody kept saying, if you're going to speak about life and about change, you have to write a book. And writing a book was on the lowest level of what I was going to do. And so I spent the next 4 years going to writers' workshops and learning how to write. And I probably wrote 6 books instead of 1 book. And this is the first book I really, really am excited to share with people.
Do you still ride motorcycles? Did you ever go out on a ride?
Yes, I now own a motorcycle and I own a bicycle, and that's my big problem. I still love to bicycle, and I go out at least 3 or 4 days a week on a bicycle, and then, of course, the motorcycle is there, and it's a whole different experience to be on a motorcycle than a bicycle. And so I have too many toys and don't know which one to go with.
Interesting, though. You're saying, though, that it takes immersing yourself in a new experience to kind of break out of the old you, in a sense. Are there any other types of activities you think that would potentially have the same effect and help somebody break out?
Well, I think the important piece is that when we try something new, and I think that's one of the problems that a lot of people have, is they forget what it was like to try something that was difficult. That when we try something new, we're going to fail at it, and not everything's going to go well. When I became single and I needed to go to my first single event because it was time for me to be out in circulation again, I can remember driving up to the singles dance party, and I needed a paper bag almost to breathe in before I went into, and I just said to myself, all you have to do is just go inside. You can come out 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, Michael? I came out 5 minutes later. But I said, I at least took the first step today. The next time I went back, I stayed longer.
Do you think going through a loss like this is harder later in life as is compared to if it happens earlier or would have happened earlier?
I think all of us face all kinds of losses, and I think that's universal, and I think everybody's life is different. I don't think it's easier or harder. I think we have to learn how to become resilient individuals. I mean, people lose their jobs. People have marriage relationships that change. We have people that we love dearly that get sick and pass away. Mm-hmm. We have to learn how to recover. And everybody, by the time I think they're 40, has probably gone through 10 or 15 or 20 different experiences that were heart-wrenching.
Indeed. Linda Krill, she's a motivational speaker, consultant, author. Her new book, Blind Curves. Check it out. You can learn a lot more about her experience on this 2,500-mile road trip, the changes she experienced inside and also the trip itself. Linda, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
Thank you for inviting me.
And that does it for us. I am Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson here with me. And that is it for a Thursday evening. For feedback, for your thoughts and comments, as I always tell you, send us an email here at 1320WILS. It's ccrecap@gmail.com. If you found anything particularly interesting, compelling, annoying, just let me know. ccrecap@gmail.com. Also, all the interviews that we had today do post on our website shortly after the show. It's 1320wils.com. All kinds of discussions today. Jeff Farrington, state representative from Utica, was here to talk about his welfare-related bill. He sponsored the bill that was passed by the House today to test welfare recipients for illegal drugs on a suspicion-based test program. Also, we had Cliff Kincaid here from the Ames Center for Investigative Journalism, and that is the Accuracy and Media Center. Basically, we talked about Al Jazeera America. He has some very intriguing viewpoints on what Al Jazeera America is all about. That's all on our website, 1320wils.com. We're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. right here on 1320 WILS. Good night.